This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Within the St George Bank, we describe ourselves as a family bank, and we care about the financial needs of all Australians. And so over the last few years, we've been looking at ways that we can ensure that our products and services match the needs of different members of our community. And, you know, it's a very diverse range of customers we have. We've done work with seniors, multicultural Australians. But one of the areas we just had no information on was on the LGBTQI community. And we had a lot of our customers that we knew were from part of that community. So we went out and had a look at what research was available in Australia. And to be honest with you, we just couldn't come up with any recent quality information that actually deep dived into the financial well-being of this community. So we conducted the research to ensure that we actually had some quality proof points so that we could ensure that we could provide the right products and services. So last year we kicked off a survey of about 1,200 Australians, which included 800 members of the LGBTQI community. We're really proud to be the first Australian financial service provider to do that, but it was so that we would have some really good insights as to what not only were the perceptions, but the needs of that community.
The Westpac-owned bank released its LGBTQI financial wellbeing report last year after the postal survey, which is said to be the first report of its kind for an Australian financial institution. I asked St George Bank General Manager Ross Miller how and why it was important to get such diverse findings regarding our communities and what this information means. What's really interesting is not just that the data wasn't there for them to find, but that the financial sector didn't really create a need for this data to exist.
Look, I would start by sort of reinforcing that we just didn't know enough about the community. And, you know, we had a lot of anecdotal evidence from, you know, customers we spoke to one-on-one. But that's why the research has been really instrumental in providing some quality proof points to help us better understand if there are different financial needs or circumstances. One of the early things that I took out of the research is that there are a lot of perceptions that the financial services industry in Australia isn't currently providing the right services for the LGBTQI community. What we're doing now is actually checking whether they are perceptions or reality and testing that with our products and services and even the way that we have quality needs-based conversations with our customers in branch.
2017 was an interesting time for LGBTIQA plus Australians, with the postal vote creating greater stress and anxiety as the validity of our lives was put to a public vote, which is why the timing of this survey and data is so interesting. I asked Miller if the postal vote played a factor on the need for the information or its possible outcome.
Look, there's no doubt it was a historic an important year for Australia as they voted on such an important topic. Interestingly, we kicked off our research well before even the announcement of the vote. And we actually also made a very, very conscious decision to release our research a little bit early ahead of the vote to actually demonstrate St George Bank totally was committed and supported this community. We didn't need to see the outcome of the vote. We wanted our customers and Australians to know that as a family bank and as a diverse and inclusive bank, that we were really keen to share these findings and see that, you know, One Australian Bank was certainly setting the way in actually making sure it understood the needs of this community.
Researching the financial needs of our community is not an easy one. Gay and lesbian financial needs do not correlate to each other necessarily. Neither do that of trans nor intersex people. Don't worry, we're going to get onto the differences in the data for our communities in just a minute. But what is very interesting is to find out where our communities are similar when looking at the results.
A couple of things that I don't think anyone listening will be surprised to hear. Almost the entire community agree that they should have the same rights as everyone else. But within that, about 90% of the respondents indicated that they did feel that life was harder for them compared to heterosexual Australians. I think along those lines, about 85% of the respondents actually indicated that they believed financial products were designed for traditional relationships. Now, We're hoping in St George that's more perception than reality, but gives us a really good guide on the way that we ensure we have the right conversations with our customers to ensure that we're testing their needs and being open to the financial wellbeing challenges that they have. Another interesting point was around where the community lived, and we found that predominantly the community was based in metro areas, nearly 70%, and that they also indicated that there are only some communities that they'd be prepared to live in, 75%, and as we understand, that's far greater than heterosexual counterparts.
Is our disposable income a misconception many people have about us? Since we don't have children, we have more money to spend. Is there a pink dollar to grab a hold of, or does this data suggest that that's actually a myth?
If we look at spending as a category, and we ask similar questions in all the types of surveys we do, for all groups within this community, with the exception of trans, the number one major expense that was indicated was holidays. Now, for trans, just to give you an indication of how it was different, that was for major out-of-pocket medical expenses. But again, if we look at that research and compare it to the majority of the community in hetero Australians, we found that we had the three same top priorities, those being holidays, buying a new car, or buying a property, all in that top three. That said, within the community, as you indicated, it's much less likely than hetero Australians to incur major expenses related to children, such as school fees. However, one group within the LGBTQI women, they were five times more likely to incur major expenses on IVF or reproduction-related services.
Last week, St George released specific data in relation to women who have sex with women from the survey. And although the gender pay gap within the LGBTIQA plus community is smaller than in the straight community in Australia, that it even exists shows that the gender pay gap is not just related to women taking on a disproportionate share of domestic care or labour. It indicates the strength that the effect that underrepresentation has had for women in the workforce. It shows that this problem is symptomatic as well as social, which means this is a problem for governments and organisations to really look at, because they could play a part in fixing it by changing the system they work within, making it better for us all.
The interesting thing is the research shows that the good news is the pay gap between women and men is smaller in the LGBTQI community than their hetero counterparts. However, there still is a gap. And so we found that of the LGBTQI women surveyed, they earn approximately 18% less than LGBTQI men, whereas hetero women earn 31% less than hetero men, according not only to our research, but broader research that's been conducted. Probably not surprisingly, the superannuation gap, though, is smaller for LGBTQI women. And we could make the assumption that that is related to the fact that less of that community have actually taken time away from work with children. The findings also show that LGBTQI women are five times more likely to incur expenses related to IVF or reproduction-related services than hetero women. And they're also less likely to become a home owner-occupier and less likely to benefit from shared expenditure in retirement. Now, these are early findings that we do want to carefully consider. Again, coming back to the fact that, are we having the right conversations with these members of the community at the right time to ensure that they're considering their financial well-being into the future years, including retirement? 63% of people surveyed say they're worried about their ability to financially provide for themselves and their family in the future.
I asked Miller if these findings were just in relation to lesbian women, because the needs of trans and intersex or gender diverse women add an additional cost on another level.
The way that we've asked the questions, the survey results relate to all women within the survey that have responded. There are some pieces, as you say, that there's greater expenditure for different groups, and people have called that out. You know, there's no doubt that particularly if we look at transgender Australians, they came across as a more disadvantaged group, with 9 in every 10 saying they felt particularly vulnerable and worried about providing for themselves and their family. They were less likely to be in the workforce and more than twice as likely than the LGBTQI average to be unemployed or looking for work. So, you know, there are some particular challenges with that group that, again, give us great insight in the way that we can have wholesome and supportive conversations with customers that identify as trans in branch.
So what now? We know that something needs to change. How can things be different? Miller explains what's next for St George.
There's a couple of things that we can do immediately. It's really important. I'm very, very privileged to be the leader of a great Australian organisation that wants to do the right thing by its customers. Firstly, awareness is the biggest step change for us. We're able to provide the results of our survey with our people, and also from that, be able to provide them with the skills and capability to have the right conversations with our customers. We do believe that there is an opportunity for us to become the first Australian bank that actually will allow customers to choose on the system how they're identified, particularly when it comes to trans, and that we can ensure that we're always having the right conversations with those customers. So it's about implementing stronger service standards and training regarding equality, changing our branch technology so that we can have customers' gender identity placed on their banking profile. But also, really importantly, the reason we're doing some PR around this, the reason that we're talking about this at a public level, is encouraging members of the LGBTQI community to come into, in our case, St George, for a financial health check, so we can help relieve of some of the financial concerns that they're expressing in the survey. We also want to use the opportunity to learn from where there is a perception that with their hetero counterparts, where they believe traditional relationships get a higher standard of service from financial institutions, we can demonstrate that's not the case. But also there's an emerging trend for planning for families, and even more recently with the great news around marriage equality, planning for a wedding and the costs associated with that.
That was DNR Curie speaking to the General Manager of St George Bank, Ross Miller, about their findings of the LGBTQI Financial Wellbeing Report, following the Australian Council of Trade Union last week calling for a 7.2% increase to minimum and award wages. With 60% of women and 52% of men in the LGBTQI communities earning less than $40,000 per year, this increase would be a significant increase in wages for many LGBTQI Australians. Although last year's report from St George's Bank showed that the LGBTQI community in Australia does, on average, earn 25% more than their straight counterparts, it also outlined that the financial costs for this community that will negate those higher earnings. Most LGBTQI individuals are a third less likely to own their own homes, and those who have managed to enter the property market have a mortgage 41% higher than the straight individual surveyed. Plus, there's further financial strains of the expensive medical procedures for many in the trans communities and high assisted reproduction costs for most LGBTQI individuals hoping to have children.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.